There's only one way to wake up in the morning.
Are you?
Yep, that's it. Miller.
Making his way to the stage is the one, the only Skinny D. Always wanted that mic one time. Just wanted to introduce Dakota to the stage.
And Moltek.
For those of you that don't know, it's like the big city experience. You know, midday, you go to the museum, the art gallery, or if minor league hockey around the southeast, you know, you go to the ballet.
Southwest Florida's Fox Sports Radio. Broadcasting live from the Kobe Cooling Remote Studios, where it's always cool and comfortable.
Yes! Yes! Oh, I like it!
It's up to you now! It's up to you!
I like it!
Now, the best local sports show this town has ever heard. Here's Miller and Moulton.
Couple minutes past the hour, top of the morning, everyone. Thanks so much for being a part of Miller and Moulton on Southwest Florida's Fox Sports Radio. I come at you from Chicago. Tampa Bay and the Bears tonight. Bucks a 3.5-point favorite, but they are wounded. Wide receiving core depleted, running back core depleted even more than that. Dr. Roto, to answer all your fantasy questions coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, it's a pleasure to catch back up with Joe Theismann. Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, NFL MVP, restaurateur, actor. Follow him on Twitter at Theismann7. Joe, hope all is well with you and the family. How are you?
Everything is good. I hope the same for you, and I hope everybody out there is staying safe. We are in unprecedented, crazy times, and it's just got to sort of take a breath and make sure you're doing the right things.
Well, do you think Ron Rivera did the right thing yesterday? You know, you were a young quarterback once in which, you know, you got bounced around and you had playing time pulled out from under you on a couple of occasions. I literally thought of you when I heard the news and thought, I can't imagine Joe Theismann's real happy with what Ron Rivera did, because I'm guessing you're putting yourself in Mr. Haskins' shoes.
Well, to a degree, and I like the fact you said one time I was young. I like that. I really liked it one time, to be honest with you. But, I, you know, we all are on the outside looking in. Ron is around it every day. Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, is the same way. Kenny Zampezi, the quarterback coach. They've had time to evaluate Dwayne. And I don't think this decision was just made because of one game. Remember, when Ron got here, he named Dwayne the starter right from the get-go. Dwayne has worked with the number ones from the time they went on the practice field until this past week when he's not going to be dressing, probably. He's had two things that really jumped out at me. Number one is misses have always been high. You look at his interceptions, that's the situation he was faced with. The second was he seems to be late with a lot of throws. And those are the things that have happened. Those are facts. Now, you can look at sort of the reason why. He's had 1 year of college experience, and basically threw a ton of bubble screens in college. He had a track team around him as far as receivers go at Ohio State. He had seven games, really only five worth anything. The first two he started last year weren't that much. Bill Callahan took over, and they became a 65% running football team. So he wasn't asked to throw a lot. Now Ron Rivera comes in, but he's had no OTAs, no mini camps, no training camp, no preseason games, and you're asking him to learn a new system. He's not polished yet or even shining a little bit when it comes to the fact that you're going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And so I think the decision was the right thing based upon what Ron saw. I support him 100%.
What can Haskins do? You talked about two clear things where he is not performing the right way: high throws and late throws. Are they fixable, Joe?
They are fixable, and it's a great question. And this is the thing that people aren't asking. Everybody's talking about not listening to local radio, and everybody's talking about Dwayne's this, Dwayne's that. To me, this is a very critical point in Dwayne's, not only his career, but his life. What are you going to do? I went through this situation, and what I did is, we had our equipment. We had a Bernetti. Jay is now with the San Francisco 49ers. I used to get him out after practice. If the receivers were tired, we didn't have as many as they have now, and we didn't have the practice squad they have now. Jay would come out with his gloves, and I would work by myself
We just lost Joe there. So, David, let me try to get him back on.
Yeah, well, I think we could all hear somebody was calling Joe while he was on the air with us. Joe Theismann joining us and asking him about the Redskins' decision yesterday to bench Dwayne Haskins and, in fact, move him all the way down to third string on the depth chart. And so Ron Rivera going with the young quarterback that he had in Carolina last year. And Alex Smith moves all the way up to second string. It's 1 month shy of 2 years since that catastrophic leg injury that he suffered. And Alex Smith now just a play away, if you will, from making his way back onto the field and playing in a game, a moment that we all thought would never happen. I am surprised, Mark. And I know that you're trying to get Joe back on the line. I am surprised that Joe is in as much agreement as he is with the Redskins' decision. To me, the only thing that the Redskins organization needs to accomplish in 2020 is to find out whether or not Dwayne Haskins is the guy. And that is the number one thing that they have to accomplish this year. And I don't see how they accomplish that now unless they've already made their decision. Joe, you were talking about grabbing the equipment guy and working out.
Yeah, what I think this is important for Dwayne now is that he's got to make a decision on what he's going to do. He's in probably the loneliest situation you can be in other than being hurt. You've been benched. You're number three. You're not going to dress. So what are you going to do? Are you going to pout? Are you going to mope? Or are you going to sit down with the coach and say, what do I need to do better? And then you go try and do it, and you work by yourself after practice. And like I said, this is a lonely, lonely time. And I've been there. And it's not easy because, you know, you're basically, it's you, yourself, and yourself. And you have to be able to push through this. And now it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to the situation of being benched. I mean, every, you know, you hitters go through slumps. Quarterbacks go through problems. People are pulled and benched. The question is, what do you do? I think now you get to say, okay, what are you made of? The turn tail and say, oh, I'm done. I expected more. This is a cruel game. This game is cruel in so many ways, and don't expect any love from it. But, you know, he has total control of what he wants to do going forward. I think he's the one that has to make a decision on how he wants to improve and what he needs to improve on.
Joe, do you think it's possible that Ron Rivera has decided in basically 2 months that, yeah, Haskins can't play in this league? Or do you think moment in time thing and that really there's a chance if they don't do well in the next 6 weeks that they move him back and make him the starter again?
I don't believe he'll be back as a starter again. Because here's the problem. Is Ron has identified things that he is not good at. And being number three and not participating in practice to any degree, you're never going to get better at it this year. There isn't a magic pill out there that Dwayne's going to take it all of a sudden. His throws are going to be lower. He's going to anticipate the breaks of receivers. Those things, they're not going to happen because he's not going to be on the field practicing. You know, he got all the snaps with the one. Now Kyle's going to get all the snaps, and Alex is going to get some. And Dwayne's going to run the scout team. And you know, it's interesting. When I ran the scout team, I really tried to make it as hard as possible for our defense. I mean, they put up cards and they ask you to run things, but it doesn't mean that you don't try as hard to throw the football into places where you might be successful. I mean, it really becomes a mind game. This is a huge mind game for him. What do you want to do? How are you going to approach practice? Those are all things that I think he has to deal with. But I see Alex and Kyle, and just on a footnote, it's so great to see Alex Smith really in the position that he's in after having gone through what he has. You guys saw the E60, I'm sure, on Project 11, on Alex and his leg. I mean, we had very similar breaks up until the break, and then everything that he dealt with after that was just incredible, showed incredible strength as a human being and his family support and his toughness.
Joe, I'm curious, because we talked about this after the injury. It was one of the last times we had you, when he was basically getting through it, and it looked like he might play again. And I know we've talked to you a couple of times about it, and I'm glad you led to this because I know you've got to be excited. But I'm just curious, in the past, I don't know, month or so, have you talked to Alex? Have you two, I mean, is there sort of bond that we all kind of see because the injuries were so similar and we all watched it happen to you so many years ago, Joe? Is there any conversations that the two of you have had in recent times?
We've communicated through Texas. Just wish them luck, congratulate them so that he made the active roster. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic and the restrictions the NFL has placed on going to the facilities, I haven't had a chance to see him but once work. And he looked good out on the football field. You have to go back to what Ron said just the beginning of the season, the end of training camp. He said, I'm going to feel more comfortable doing something with Alex when I get a chance to see, quote-unquote, if he can protect himself. Well, without any preseason games, Ron still doesn't really know if he can protect himself. I think he's observing him in practice, making him move a little bit better, maybe seeing him go to the left and right. For me, the problem was moving left. I could sort of slide out of the pocket right, but when it came to moving left, you have to push off that right leg. And it was a problem for me. It really took me two and a half years to get back where I could really move again. And that's about where Alex is. And believe me, there's no way Ron or Scott or anybody in that organization would put Alex in a situation where they didn't believe he could take care of himself. So where he is now, I'm excited as we'll get out for him. We do communicate, like I say, sparingly, not as much as we would if we were, if I had the opportunity to go to the facility.
We're talking with Joe Theismann, former Super Bowl champion, NFL MVP. You can follow him on Twitter at Theismann7. Joe, I heard Kurt Warner doing Monday Night Football, in which he – now, this is the guy, of course, we know what he did, but he was quarterback of the greatest show on turf. And he was kind of incredulous watching the offenses right now, in which he's like, yeah, I don't know how you play defense anymore. And it was just funny because 20 years ago, we were all trying to figure out how we were going to defend his offense. So when you watch the league now and you think about the league that you played in and from then until now, I mean, are we getting close to the point where we're going to have to figure something out defensively or else every game's going to be 42-38?
Yeah, welcome to flag football. NFL version of flag football. I agree with them. And if you're a defensive back, and it depends upon the officials too. Different officials call games differently. And this is something that coaches scout. People don't realize this. People will scout officials. Some officials will let you nuzzle a little bit more. Some will let you be a little more handsy. Others will call it much tighter. And you have to know who's refereeing your football game. You have to know what the officials will and will not call. I agree with him. I mean, the inconsistency in roughing the quarterback. I saw calls last week where I forget who it was. Maybe it was the Rams or somebody. You hit the quarterback and you hit him. You don't fall on top of him and you knock him to the ground and they throw a flag. Whereas if you tackle him and you fall on top of him, they don't throw a flag. To Sam Darnold, the reason Sam Darnold got hurt, that should have been, without question, a roughing the quarterback and no flag. It's that inconsistency, I think, that everybody complains about. Just give me one set of rules. Give me one set of eyes to tell me what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. But playing defense in the National Football League right now, it's very difficult. You can't touch receivers after 5 yards. You can barely touch a quarterback. If you push him to the ground, if he throws the ball and you push him to the ground, that's considered roughing the quarterback. That's kind of absurd. They really need to sit and evaluate that particular penalty. Because here's something that's very interesting in football to me. Kickers are in an extremely vulnerable position. Leg in the air, no protection. But yet they have 2 degrees of penalties when it comes to kickers. Running into the kicker and roughing the kicker. To me, why don't you have that same distinction for quarterbacks? If a guy's been pushed to the ground, that's a 5-yard penalty. We're serving notice that you can't push him around. But if you do abuse him and you do hurt him and it looks like you want to hurt him, 10-15 yard penalty.
Boy,
I know the position is valuable, but believe me, guys that are up in the air with their legs in the air are extremely valuable also.
And Joe, I love it because this year we've watched officials convene a lot and decide to pick a flag up or to make sure they've got the right call. And I think that's an opportunity where they can convene. The one guy wants to call roughing the passer, and someone else can say, hey, I saw it from another angle. You need to make that a running into the quarterback particularly on out-of-bounds plays when quarter... I mean, you're trying to tell defenders to tackle the quarterback who's elusive. And right now, if you don't have a running quarterback, it seems that you're behind the eight ball in most situations. And now these guys are scrambling, trying to get first downs. And if you push them after they stepped out of bounds, it's 15. But if you push them right before, that's okay. I don't know how you're supposed to tell a defender to pull up. I mean, while you're going to tackle the guy, make sure one of your eyes is looking at where the white is on the sidelines. That seems impossible to do running full speed.
I agree with you. I mean, it is very difficult to all of a sudden throw the brakes on. How about the game the other night when they the New England KC game, when Patrick Mahomes basically is being tackled, he's switching hands to throw the ball, and they either blew the whistle or said it was an incomplete pass, but actually it was an interception or a fumble, however you want to rule it. But they've also told the officials, that's the kind of stuff. You've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who we've seen time after time after time escape being in the grass. And now all of a sudden you blow the whistle. That's the inconsistency that I'm talking about. You know, try and be consistent on what you're going to do. If you're going to let a guy who can move around, run around, let him do it. If you've got a guy like Tom Brady, for example, who's a much more stationary quarterback, people get around him, they get around his legs, blow the flag, protect him. If you're going to protect him, protect him. If you're going to let the guys move, let them move. It's like, you know, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. These are guys that you don't get them down one swipe at them. But it's, you know, like I said, really, I think what coaches and players are looking for is consistency. And Kurt's absolutely right. As far as defenses go, man, it's an unbelievably difficult job. And that's why you're seeing people go after and pay big money to outside rushers. Because you need speed on the outside to try and force the quarterback to get rid of the football. And those are the ones now that have become the big pay guys.
Joe, your gut feeling, unless you have some data, the injuries. One, do you think there are more of them through the first 4 weeks this year than in other recent years? And if so, do you think it is tied to the fact that we didn't have a normal camp, we didn't have preseason football, and that guys were in shape, but they weren't in football shape?
The answer to that question is twofold, and I agree with both of them. First of all, there are more injuries, and there are more soft tissue injuries. How many receivers have hamstring issues? And that's the preponderance of them. And absolutely, without the OTAs, the mini camps, the training camps, that's where you get hurt a little bit. That's where you pull a muscle. That's where you get a week to heal, where you don't have to be on the field. Without all that stuff, this is exactly what we see. The first 3 weeks of our season were basically training camp and preseason games. And that's where players usually wind up with the pulls, the nicks, the things that have become nagging, the ankle injuries. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And you're absolutely right. 100%. I don't have data, but your eyes tell you what you see. When you're in practice and you're going after a ball as a wide receiver, you are not in top gear. When you're in a game and you're chasing a ball and things are moving a lot faster, you're pushing yourself to another level, a level that you haven't conditioned your body to. And then as far as offensive linemen go, they don't get to block anybody. They don't get to hit anyone. And now all of a sudden you're taking on an Aaron Donald, for example, or a Khalil Mack. Different story. But yeah, I do really think that both those things have to do with the injuries that we're dealing with.
Joe, I was listening to a show yesterday, and they kind of started talking about, I think it was Brady Quinn actually, just talking about drop back passers, and kind of made a point saying, I don't know if that's what you can have anymore. When you look at a Matt Ryan and a Matt Stafford, who are guys that still have a few years left, but haven't gotten to where they want to go. I'm not talking about Breeze and Brady because they're nearly done. But Joe, if you were the GM of a team right now, would you draft a straight up drop back passer anymore?
I would be reluctant to take somebody who was totally stationary. The quarterback I would draft right now would have to have some degree of mobility. For example, Dwayne Haskins in Washington, is basically a drop back passer, but he can move. He has athleticism. He dropped 20 pounds. You can put him on the edge. You can move him out of the pocket. You can run bootlegs with him. You can do certain things with him. That would be the type of a guy I would go for if I was looking for a drop-back quarterback. I wouldn't want an exclusive run-around guy either. I wouldn't want somebody where, for example, if Baltimore gets behind and you take them out of their running game, which we've seen Kansas City do a couple times, you force Lamar to start to throw the football, which is something they don't necessarily feature in their offense. They're a tight end-based offense and a running team offense. And then they run Hollywood down the field for big plays. So, you know, it's if you want to run your offense, because of the limited times that we have, and look, this is an aberration this year. We know that. I mean, my goodness. You know, you've got camps that are, you've got facilities that are closing for 2 or 3 days, and you've got all kinds of crazy things happening. So to look at this year, I think you just got to put an asterisk by everything and say, okay, how quickly can we get through all this stuff? But I would be very reluctant just to find a pure drop-back guy. You know, Joe Burrow, for example, I think, you know, worked very well in college out of the pocket. The guy has mobility. Justin Herbert, same thing. Big guy, moves pretty well. Josh Allen up in Buffalo, classic example. Big guy, throws well out of the pocket, but really, really effective when he starts to move. The one guy that has really shown, I think, this year what diligence and hard work will do is Cam Newton. You look at the last game that Cam played, he threw the ball from the pocket as well as I've seen him throw in his entire career. His footwork was good. His accuracy was incredible. Now you add that dimension of athleticism to it, and you really have a force to deal with.
Well, his work ethic's always been excellent. You know, people go at Cam a lot of different ways, but his teammates love him, and he's always worked hard, and most every coach has always spoken highly of him as well.
But he dresses great. I mean, he dresses cool. I mean, I can't wear hats like that.
I was going to say, I'd love to see you in one of those hats, Joe. The next time you're playing golf at Fiddlesticks, Joe, show up in one of those hats and see what they say.
I'll do that. Next time I'm down and I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to bring my Cam hat. Just for you guys.
Love it, Joe.
Joe, stay safe. Be well. Safe travels. All the best.
Just a couple other things. Actually, besides all the things you said, I actually have a book out now called How to Be a Champion Every Day. You can get it. You can order it online on Amazon. And it's the 6 timeless keys to success. It's based off of my presentations and speeches, talk about goals and attitudes and motivation. And the other thing I'm involved with is a company called Medliminal, and the website is Medliminal. And what it is basically, to make it real short and sweet, it's a company that takes your medical bills and they look at them, because none of us could read a medical bill. And they take them, they look at them to make sure that you're not being overcharged. That's the capsule version of it. So it's called Medliminal. And it really helps a lot of people who have no idea what you're being billed for.
I have a co-host who had a kidney removed recently because he had cancer. I have a funny feeling he might want to use that service, Joe. I may be texting you about this when we're done.
Yeah, I would. It's called Medliminal, like I say, Medliminal. And if everything is the way it is, fine. But if not, why not have somebody sort of like a watchdog? Look out for some of the things that you may be charged for that, you know, maybe you don't understand or need an explanation for.
Joe Theismann, MVP, Super Bowl champ, and entrepreneur. Every time we talk to him, there's something else going on. Joe is always.
Every time I turn around, my wife's got the Hallmark Channel on, and he's in one of them shows.
Actually, there were two. I did Love on the Sidelines, and I did another one called Still Coming, and I'm thinking we're going to shoot possibly a third. We shoot in Vancouver. And, of course, you know, when you travel to Canada, you have to 2 weeks quarantine. So maybe shooting another one in November up in Vancouver. So Hallmark Channel's great. You know, with everything that's going on, with all the craziness, the politics, and all the nuttiness that's going on in this world today, tune into the Hallmark Channel. You're going to make yourself feel good for a couple hours.
Well, I will say this. They end up kissing and falling in love at the end. Joe, thanks so much.
What's wrong with that?
Not a darn thing, Joe. We all need a happy ending. Have a great day, Joe. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Follow Joe on Twitter at Theismann7. Theismann7. Joe Theismann joining us once again here on Miller and Moulton. Dr. Roto,
get your kids.
Fantasy football questions, 479-5551. Text them in, 479-5551, or fire away in the Twitch chat room for Dr. Roto next on Miller and Moulton.
Thanks for listening to the Miller and Moulton podcast. How would you like an opportunity to advertise to this very loyal smart, and dedicated audience. Reach out to either David or I. Mark@MillerandMolton.com. David@MillerandMolton.com. It's that simple, easy, and inexpensive opportunities to get a hold of our podcast audience, our Twitch audience, and our radio audience. Find us directly. Mark@MillerandMolton.com. David@MillerandMolton.com. Or simply throw us a DM on Twitter. Thanks.
No. This is Miller and Moulton.
Thanks, Doc.
It's 8:30. Thanks for listening or watching if it's on the Miller and Moulton Twitch.tv channel. To Miller and Moulton. Southwest Florida's Fox Sports Radio, streaming at MillerandMolton.com. Our poll question today, at MillerandMolton.com. Governor DeSantis has said you can open up all the stadiums, pack them. And the Gators are thinking about it a week from Saturday against LSU. Would you go? Yes or no flipping way? And right now, no flipping way is winning. Go to MillerandMolton.com and vote. Dr. Roto is a yes every Thursday at this time on Miller and Moulton. And he joins us Tuesdays in our Twitch-only hour to do some waiver wire talk. Follow Dr. Roto at Sports Illustrated and on Twitter at DRROTO. Doc, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's an interesting Twitter question. I'm not sure I would be out there with 65,000 of my closest friends. I'm not sure about that.
And it's a dilemma that I think that we're going to deal with for a while, because post-COVID, how many people are going to go to games? There seem to be a lot that we're hearing from. They're like, yeah, I like my couch. And that's where we like to be on Sundays when we get ready for fantasy. Get your questions in right now. The Twitch chat room, the David Moulton, that Mark Miller on Twitter, or you can simply go to the Williamson Brothers Marine talk and text line at 479-5551. We'll go right at it. Hey, Roto, in my PPR Superflex, should I play Big Ben or Herbert? Lamar Jackson is my other QB, so I can't play both.
Yeah, no, you play Lamar Jackson. That's a really good call. I mean, I like Ben. You can't run on the Eagles. You have to throw on them. And Deontay Johnson is going to be back, and Ebron should have a good game. But Justin Herbert's looked pretty good. I mean, he looked pretty good. I think I may side with the Steelers. I think the Saints defense is actually a little bit better than people think, and that because Herbert's a rookie, there's always some rookie mistakes possibility there. I'll go Ben, but it's very close.
Well, I'll tell you what, he only made the one rookie mistake against Tampa. He was terrific. He has played so much better than I thought he would, period. Never mind this early in his career. Plumber 425 wants to know, Jerick McKinnon or Antonio Gibson?
Well, Gibson's in a really good spot right now. And, Dwayne Haskins' nightmare is over. And Kyle Allen is like the king of the checkdown. He's another checkdown dude, just like Teddy Bridgewater, which means I think Gibson should see a lot of catches out of the backfield. I think he's going to have more opportunities. So I think he might be one of the top 15 running backs of the weekend. So I like McKinnon, I do. But I think this may be a better week for Gibson.
479-5551 is the number to get your fantasy questions in. Half-point PPR, sit one. Out of Hines, AP, and Mark Ingram.
Hey, Hines, Ingram, and who's the third one?
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, well, I'm the Detroit Lions on a bye. Well,
wait a minute, they're on a bye. I didn't even read that. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Lions are on a bye. That shouldn't even have got there. See, this is what happens when I try to just go through. I was trying to get the text that were sent at 6 in the morning. People jump in early, and I always ask you, resend that text to me, because we get hundreds during every show, and it's difficult to go back to the first hour and find everyone's question. I could have answered that for you without wasting Doc's time. Another one here, it's gotten ugly at RB. He says, Hines or Justin Jackson, half-point PPR?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm playing Justin Jackson, and here's why. Kelly, I'm a big Joshua Kelly fan. I am. But he did fumble a little bit last week. And, you know, Jackson's a pretty good player. So now that Eckler's not there, you're going to see those two guys were in Indianapolis. You've got the three-headed Hydra. You've got Hines, you've got Taylor, and now you've got Jordan Wilkins, who the team likes very much. I've been picking Wilkins up in leagues just in case there's an injury there. So I think I'm playing Justin Jackson.
Gambino Capo, he gives us four, and he wants you to eliminate one. It's a pick three PPR scenario. Gordon, Taylor, Kelly, or Sanders?
I'm much better when it's two, because my brain can only take so many things at one time. Gordon, I'm playing Sanders. I'm playing Kelly. Who are my other two options now?
Gordon and Taylor.
I'm probably benching Gordon. I know that sounds crazy, but Philip Lindsay is expected to play. They're playing New England. So, I mean, I've got to think that Gordon may see fewer touches of the football. I'd probably bench him.
Well, can I also throw this out there, Mark, before you jump in? There is still the chance this game doesn't even get played. I mean, you know, because of the Patriots, you know, with Stephon Gilmore and what have you, they're not practicing again today. So there's that prospect of if you play anybody on the Patriots or against the Patriots, there is still the chance this game doesn't happen.
Well, with that being said, guys, I'm gonna say I would be shocked if the Buffalo Tennessee game happens. So I think you have to plan accordingly there. I think there's a much better chance of the Chiefs playing and the Patriots playing than I think about the Tennessee Titans playing.
No, there's no doubt there based on everything we're seeing. Tight end is on a bye. Which Tampa tight end would you take, Gronk or Brate?
Well, I mean, I picked up Brate in a couple of leagues because I think he's a very smart player, right? He's always in the right spot. He's got good hands. I mean, he's like the anti-OJ Howard. Howard has three more athleticism, but he's just not as reliable as Brate. But Gronk is, you know, I think if there's ever a week for Gronk to emerge, if there's ever a game, I think tonight is the game. So I think you play Gronk. I think you watch the game closely. And if Gronk is not involved in this offense enough, you move on from Gronk, because what are you going to do at this point? So I think you have to give Gronk one more shot.
Well, and listen, you guys know I'm not the fantasy player, but Mark, I mean, you know, we're just in talking about the Bucs-Bears tonight, trying to figure out, well, where are the Bucs going to go for offense? They only have two healthy running backs, and we know their receiving core is going to try to play, but we know the receivers are all banged up. The two guys we know are healthy are Gronk and Cameron Brate. I mean, I would think this could be a big night for tight ends for the Bucs.
Don't disagree at all. And at some point, Gronk's going to get a touchdown. So that is a solid way to look at it. All right, Hooper, another tight end question here. Hooper or Gesicki from the Dolphins?
I don't know if I really like either of them. I think this game I would watch very closely at the injury to Darius Leonard. The Colts are very good at covering tight ends, so I won't play Hooper. However, the Colts had a couple of injuries to Okereke and to Leonard last week, so I think this is one of those that I'm going to wait for the inactive list. I think a lot of people don't do that in fantasy, and I think it's really important. So if you know your defensive players, right, and I tend to look at points against, and that's something that people don't always look at either. So I'll look and see, you know, which team is, you know, doesn't give up points against, let's say, the tight end, and I know it's the Colts. So now I look at the inactives, and then when I see a couple of guys who are out, you know, I'll know that maybe Hooper's a better start than he would have been had those guys been playing. So I think that was why Gesicki did so well against the Bills, because Edmonds and Milano missed that game. So you have to really go deep. The deeper you go in fantasy football, the more success you're going to have.
Joe Psychotic in our Twitch chat room. Flex, no PPR, pick one amongst Julio, Melvin Gordon, or Tyler Boyd. Which one?
I don't think there's even a question. I'm playing Tyler Boyd. I mean, I want to play Julio. I do. But, I mean, I don't think this guy is close to being healthy. I think this guy's probably a scratch this week. I don't think they're saying it because they'll never say it. But I'm worried about him. He just doesn't look right. I mean, even last week, they're like, well, we're going to play him in certain situations. You know, sometimes when it comes to guys like that, you just got to shut them down and just let them sit. You know, had he missed the Packers game, probably would have been smarter if you think about it. Because if you look at the Falcons schedule coming up, they've got five winnable games. But now when Julio is, you know, running on one leg, I don't know if you're going to win those games. Boyd looks like he's Burrow's number one guy. This is, I know it's against the Ravens. I get that. It's a tough matchup. But if there's any guy on that team that I'm happy with this week, it's Boyd.
When you look from a DFS standpoint this week, what games are you excited about that maybe somebody else isn't? Because it's always easy to sit there, Doc, and grab the number one point total game by Vegas and say, well, that's the game I got to be in. Is there a game that may not be one of the top two point games by Vegas that you think has an opportunity to get a lot of points in?
Well, I mean, look, like last week, I thought it was the Houston game against Minnesota, and that worked out. I think you look to Vegas because Vegas is normally on to something, right? So if they think it's a high-scoring game, it probably will. I kind of like the Arizona Jets game to be a little bit higher scoring than people think, but that was more with Sam Darnold than it is with Joe Flacco, because I think the Cardinals play with a lot of pace. I think the Bengals Ravens game might be slightly higher scoring than people think. The Bengals play with a lot of pace. The Ravens really don't, but I think sometimes when slower teams play faster teams, they tend to move faster. It doesn't work in the inverse. It just happens that way, that it makes the slower team move up a little bit. So I think the Bengals Ravens game and the Cardinals Jets games might be a little higher scoring than people expect.
Got a sleeper for us this week, Doc?
Well, I think I would start, I'll give you two. I think I would start in that Atlanta game with that guy, Zacchaeus. Good luck if I can spell that name, but I think Zacchaeus is out there. He's been out there. And if Julio's out or Ridley doesn't look 100%, I think he's certainly going to be in play. And then take a look at the Jets game. There's a guy named Jeff Smith. He played well last week. Perriman is still out. He may get the call, and I think he's dirt cheap on drafting. So that guy might be 4 or 5X this week if he can do what he did last week.
Dial Fleck in our Twitch chat room. Half-point PPR. Pick two of these three. Jarvis Landry, Jamison Crowder, Scotty Miller.
Wow, that's a tough one. Crowder is Darnold's guy, but the Jets do have to throw to somebody, so I've got to think Crowder is in play. So, Miller, I'll go Jarvis Landry because I do think that Leonard's going to miss the game, and I think that the Colts are a little soft in the middle. And the question is, can Stefanski and Baker Mayfield take advantage of that? You know, look, here's a worry about the Browns. First of all, Kareem Hunt is a top five running back, I think, moving forward. I really do. And I think D'Ernest Johnson, who runs a 4.86, may not be as good as everybody thought. But they only threw the ball 30 times last week against the Cowboys when they scored all those points. So they really want to run the football. So they throw smartly. So the question is, will they find Landry or Hooper over the middle, especially if there's injuries there? I'm hoping that they will.
479-5551. Any last minute questions for Dr. Roto as we set our fantasy lineups for the week? A guy that you were high on before the season, and you did tell everybody it would take a while because of the early schedule, is Daniel Jones. Now, they obviously lost their top running back, which does not help matters, but they played Dallas this week. What do you think of Jones finally breaking out this week?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to go on DraftKings this weekend and you want to use Daniel Jones, you want to put him in a lineup with Slayton and Zeke and Lamb, I think that might be a good starting point. I mean, Slayton is the big play guy. Dallas gives up a lot of big plays. Jones, if there's ever a game that he will find success, you would have to think it's this game. So, I mean, would I feel great about starting him? No, but is he startable? Absolutely. I feel the same way about Kirk Cousins this week against Seattle. So I think these two guys are absolutely in perfect spots to find success.
Well, if the Giants offensively, forget whether they win or lose, if offensively they can't get on track this week against the Cowboys, I think some people may lose their jobs, players and coaches. Kyle wants to know, should I trade for Kenyon Drake now while his value is low?
That's always a good idea. I mean, look, his value could not be any lower at this point, and I'm sure, you know, that the Kenyon Drake, the guys rostering him, is not very happy about that. So I probably would,
would, but I mean, you can't give up that much. You can't give up a lot. So, I mean, if I would probably, this is one of those things where I'd look for maybe my third running back and third receiver and offer quantity, right? This is one of those deals where I'm giving you quantity and hoping to get back a quality player, and I'm hoping that he emerges.
Mecole Hardman or Darius Slayton?
Oh, no, I'm talking Slayton. I mean, look, I like Hardman, you know, but this week, don't you think that this is a Kelce week? Don't you think this is a Tyreek Hill week? I mean, Hardman is the fourth option on that offense. And now it's still a great offense, but he's number four. Slayton is, you know, much higher on the pecking order. So look, if Hill or Kelce would ever miss, man, Hardman becomes my BFF in fantasy. But right now, he's a little bit low on the totem pole.
And It's the Rams Man wants to know, which Rams running back should he own going forward?
I want to hear this answer too.
Yeah, I want to hear this answer too. I don't know. I mean, I think here's what I do know. I think Malcolm Brown is the goal line back. So that's pretty clear. Henderson is got a lot of juice and can make a big play. And Akers, nobody's actually seen him really, so we don't really know. But I think this is a three-headed Hydra. So I think the safest play, if you're in a standard or a half-point PPR, is Brown. But I don't feel good about it. It's just one of those things where I'm like, it's a mess.
I think we're supposed to have a Cam Akers sighting here soon.
Look, he's real good. I mean, I was an Akers guy coming in, so I always feel like if I was on to somebody at the beginning, he may not emerge this week, but at some point this season, he will. And I really do believe that. I think at some point this season, on one of our shows, we'll be talking about Cam Akers' success. And, I mean, he's that good. He just needs the opportunity. He needs to get a little rhythm. He needs some touches. Will he get enough touches? I don't know right now, but it will happen at some point.
Final question, full PPR, Miles Sanders or Allen Robinson?
Ooh, I think I'm going to go Miles Sanders there. I mean, look, I love Allen Robinson. I think he's a great player, but I don't like the quarterback play. And I think the Bucs defense is pretty darn good. I think Carlton Davis is pretty solid. I think that's not going to be the best matchup for Robinson. I think if the Eagles want to win and play better, and that is a horrible division this year, you've got to get Sanders involved in this offense. He needs 20 touches because the offense works better the more touches he has, because then when you go to him, then you could open up to your receivers.
Roto, forget fantasy. 10 seconds. Who do you like tonight?
I like the Bucs. I mean, how do you not like the Bucs? I mean, Tom Brady showed you a lot last week, so I'm all in on the Tampa train.
Nick Foles, 3 of 11 on third down last week for 27 yards. It's the difference between playing the Falcons and playing the Colts in evidence last week. Doc, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. All the best to you and the family. Stay safe.
All right, you too, guys. Catch you next week. Bye.
Dr. Roto, Sports Illustrated. He's SiriusXM's fantasy expert. He's our fantasy expert. You can follow him on Twitter. And he will answer your questions at Dr. Roto, D-R-R-O-T-O, Dr. Roto. He joins us every Tuesday in our bonus Twitch hour, and he joins us every Thursday on the radio version of Miller and Moulton. This show has just flown by today.
It has. It has. It's fun when there's games to talk about in every single sport out there. We haven't even been able to break down the NHL draft yet, David.
Well, that's why the bonus Twitch hour is a mere 12 minutes away. Between now and then, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Thanks so much for listening. We are Miller and Moulton.
Thank you for listening to the Miller and Moulton podcast, brought to you by Clean Water America. Clean Water America, home systems and purifiers. With over 27 years of treatment experience in Lee and Collier County and over 37,000 customers. They've been doing business in Florida since 1955. So check them out. We'd love you to support our newest sponsor to the Miller and Moulton podcast, Clean Water America. Go to cleanwateramerica.com or call 239-489-4766. Ask for Brian and you'll get $100 off a new equipment purchase when mentioning the Miller and Moulton podcast. So call today, Clean Water America, 239-489-4766. Tell them Miller and Moulton sent you.
From the best headlines.
It's the best.
To the worst.
It's the worst thing that ever happened to anybody ever.
Prepare yourself and hide the women and children. This is Mark Miller's Good, Bad, and Ugly on Fox Sports Radio.
For the good, we go to Mount Olympus. Pretty cool story where a Greek athlete befriended a person who was, well, disabled, and goal in life had been to get to the top of Mount Olympus, and now unable to. That's when this hero basically stepped in. And 240 meters in the air later, 10 hours climbing, Mario Giannakou carried, or I'm sorry, Marcos Giannakou carried, yes, I'm sorry, I had that right, carried the woman, and I'm trying, Elektra Tosu, to the top of the mountain to fulfill her dream. I couldn't climb that myself, let alone carry a bottle of water the whole way, so that impresses the hell out of me. For the bad, we go to Oklahoma City, where two former Oklahoma jail employees and their supervisors are now facing misdemeanor cruelty charges after investigators found they forced inmates to stand handcuffed for hours and listen to the children's song Baby Shark on repeat. I really think that that's a great way to tell someone not to commit a crime ever again. I mean, that's all. Put it this way. What's better, writing your name 200 times on a chalkboard or being forced to listen to Baby Shark 200 times?
You know, that may violate the UN cruel and unusual punishment stipulation, though.
Well, there's no doubt, and that's why they were fired and then now being sued. For the ugly, David, stay out of the water. Because in Miami Beach yesterday, a 31-year-old was bitten by a black-tipped shark near 10th Street on the beach. An 8-inch laceration under his knee. Video on Instagram shows this man bleeding terribly. He is in stable condition at Jackson Memorial Hospital. Stay out of the water, David.
Well, Mark, it's their water. We're the ones that are invading their water. Okay, we act like it's ours. Well, this is a beach. It's our beach. The sand part of it is yours. The water part of it is theirs. And they're claiming it more and more.
That, David, is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, October the 8th. This is still 2020.
Yes, it is. Tom Pelissero reported a half dozen minutes ago, another Titans player has tested positive for COVID, and an inconclusive test from yesterday has also come back positive. I cannot imagine the Titans-Bills game is going to happen.
No.
It's certainly not going to happen Sunday. I don't know how it happens at all.
Looks like the Patriots game will happen, though.
My question, though, is that it was, you know, we were supposed to have 69 guys, and weren't we supposed to we'll take the ones that are positive, push them to the side, everybody else plays? You know, push the game back to Monday or Tuesday, and the rest, whoever is left from the Titans, they have to play?
And look, it, we'll get into the games tomorrow with Pat Kerwin, but Pat will be all over his free agent bubble because there's got to be a better way for these teams to get players when they're in this position right now.
All right, Bucks Bears, Tampa's favored by 3.5.
Bucks in cover.
You know, I'm worried because they've got so many guys hurt, but I'm with you. Brady outduels Foles, gets payback in the end. We are.